this would have huge implications for farmers because this would empower them and the states to regulate the production of hemp without the fear of federal intervention.
Hello, and welcome back to the Lancaster Farming Podcast. Wow, it feels like forever since our last podcast. It's been 3 weeks. That's a long time to me. A lot has happened, both good and bad, in the world since then. But today we're just going to focus on industrial hemp. Okay, so on the last show, we were talking about the 2018 Farm Bill that did not get signed into law by the deadline of September 30th. Here it is, October 31st. Happy Halloween, by the way, and still no Farm Bill. So in trying to find out what this means for hemp farmers, I stumbled upon a blog on the internet called the Canna Law Blog. And more specifically, I found this blog post titled, "The 2014 Farm Bill Expired, What Now for Industrial Hemp?" And it was written by a lawyer in Portland, Oregon, named Natalie Bougeny. And she just so happens to be the guest on today's show. We're going to talk to her about industrial hemp. We're going to talk about cannabis. We're going to talk about the Farm Bill and what it means for farmers. And it's a different perspective than we're used to on our podcast. And I'm excited to share this interview with you. So we're going to take a quick break and then jump right back in with Natalie. Stay tuned. Okay, welcome back to the show. I'm here with our guest. Could you introduce yourself to us?
Sure. My name is Natalie Bougeny. I'm an attorney practicing in Portland, Oregon. I'm part of an international law firm called Harris Bricken. We have offices on the West Coast, but also in Barcelona and Beijing.
Okay, can you tell us a little bit about the type of law that you practice?
Yes. My practice is rather wide. I'm an intellectual property attorney by training, but I've been studying the implications of the recent legal changes that affect the cannabis industry and specifically CBD and industrial hemp.
Okay, so what made you want to get involved in cannabis law specifically?
My firm has been practicing in the area of cannabis law for the last 8 years. So when I joined the firm earlier this year, I started learning about this really dynamic area of the law and just became particularly interested in industrial hemp and CBD and just started focusing my work on this area.
Okay. Do you do much work with farmers, with hemp farmers?
We work a lot more with distributors than farmers. But that being said, we have a few clients, including here in Oregon, who are industrial hemp farmers. So we're seeing a need for legal representation and counsel for farmers who are involved in this industry.
I suppose out west, things are slightly more advanced than back here in the east when it comes to cannabis. Can you describe a little bit about what the supply chain looks like for some of your clients, you know, the distributors who get the crop from the farmers?
Well, you know, it really depends from state to state, right? If there is a pilot program that was adopted by the state, but more often than not, a lot of the states that have adopted a research program for industrial hemp will require that cultivators, but also processors and distributors, and often retailers, obtain a license from the Department of Agriculture within the state. And so the chain of supply is typically limited to people who are registered with the State Department to grow, process, distribute, and sell industrial hemp and CBD that's derived from industrial hemp. So that's the chain. And here in Oregon, the Oregon Department of Agriculture is overseeing this particular program. And the cultivators and processors that are registered with the Oregon Department of Agriculture, for example, have also an option to sell to processors that are registered with the Oregon Liquor Control Commission, which specifically regulates recreational marijuana. But some of these processors are interested in using hemp, industrial hemp, and add it to whatever product that they're coming with that also contains marijuana. Because as you know, there's a distinction between industrial hemp and marijuana. Both are derived from cannabis, but industrial hemp, unlike marijuana, contains just insignificant traces of THC, which is the psychoactive component of the cannabis plant. And so there is a really important distinction here that needs to be made, because obviously industrial hemp has become legal at the state level, in part because it only contains traces of THC, and so is not seen as a substance that would have an impact on people's ability to function if they were to consume it, unlike marijuana.
So I originally found you through your blog, with your blog post about the Farm Bill. Can we talk a little bit about that?
Sure.
I understand that there's a disagreement in Congress. Maybe it's over the conservation programs or some of the SNAP benefits programs. But obviously that held up all of the movement that was happening with industrial hemp. Can you just tell us where the Farm Bill stands now?
Yes. So as of now, nothing is really happening regarding the 2018 Farm Bill. From what we have seen in the news, it appears that the two houses won't really be discussing the two different versions. There's a version in the Senate that was approved and another one in the House that slightly vary. And so the two houses here need to reconcile those differences before the bill can essentially be proposed to the president for signature. And so right now it appears that no actions will be taken by the houses until after the midterm election. So we're hoping that something will happen between November 7th and the end of the year, because obviously the original deadline that was set by Congress for the passage of the new Farm Bill was in September, and that deadline wasn't met in part because the two houses could not reconcile those differences. And the main differences really are that the Senate version, which offers a much more robust program for industrial hemp, would essentially remove hemp and its derivatives and extracts, including CBD that's derived from hemp, from the Controlled Substance Act, which means that it would no longer be looked at as cannabis that's a controlled substance, but rather be treated as an agricultural commodity. And this would have huge implications for farmers, because this would empower them and the states to regulate the production of hemp without the fear of federal intervention. That would also make hemp plants eligible for crop insurance. It would also ensure them access to public water rights. And last but not least, also enable farmers to access the national bank system, which at the moment is not available to them. So that's basically what's happening. But essentially what people should take away from the expiration of the 2014 Farm Bill is that while the programs right now, the state pilot programs that exist were enacted pursuant to the 2014 Farm Bill, the expiration itself of the Farm Bill did not mean that those programs expired with it. And specifically, we feel confident in that analysis, in that the 2014 Farm Bill contains no explicit sunset provision. So it doesn't say, upon expiration of the 2014 Farm Bill Act, this particular section will expire as well, basically.
Okay.
And in addition, on September 28th, I believe, the president signed an appropriation funding bill into law. And that law provides essentially for a continuing resolution through the end of the year for any appropriation bill that was not enacted before October 1st. In this particular case, the appropriation bill that matters to us is the Agriculture Appropriations Act, which expressly prohibits federal law enforcement agencies from interfering with state hemp pilot programs.
Okay.
So that all of that reveals that the hemp pilot programs did not expire on September 30th, and that they should remain in place at the very least until the end of the year.
What would happen if Congress doesn't act before the end of the year?
My guess would be that Congress will just continue extending these particular appropriation bills, because essentially what they do is that they provide funding for these programs, right? The mere fact that Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell is behind the Senate version of the 2018 Farm Bill, to me, seems very promising in the passage of the bill. Now, I can't predict the future, and I'm not exactly sure what would happen, but it is a possibility, I suppose, that these programs would stop being funded, but I think that the states would probably continue ahead, and that's a decision that each state will have to make, obviously. But I guess we'll know more, hopefully, after the midterm election.
Okay, so farmers are not in any sort of legal jeopardy at this point, or would be if it were to expire.
That's correct. So long as their respective states have adopted a pilot program and that they cultivate the crop under that particular program, so if they're licensed.
Is there anything, in your opinion, that farmers should be doing now or in the near future to protect themselves if they want to grow hemp, or even anything that they should be doing otherwise to prepare themselves for this oncoming industry?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think that there are several things that farmers should take into consideration to shield themselves from potential liabilities. I think that one of the things is obviously to become familiar with federal law, but also state law, because the state programs are overseen very differently from state to state. So I think it's important to understand what the requirements are once you enroll in a state program. The first thing would most likely to obtain the license, and to be able to provide a copy of that license as soon as they start doing business. They also need to carefully review any types of purchase and sales agreement that they would enter with people who would be interested in buying their crop. This would include representations and warranties that they would offer processors or distributors. So I think seeking legal counsel is really important when it comes to that. I think another thing to do is to make sure, obviously, that they get their crop tested. Most states require it, but even if, let's say, for some reason, the farmer enrolled in that program were not required to test the level of THC, they should, because ultimately, if a consumer were to be harmed, then the risk would ultimately fall in part on the cultivator. So they have to take health issues very seriously. I think that there is, you know, another thing to look for is to make sure that the state in which they cultivate industrial hemp allows for the commercial sale of industrial hemp, because some states strictly limit it to research purposes. So that's, again, the piece about understanding state law. Another thing to keep in mind, which I think is important in this industry, is to do their due diligence and before they enter into business with anybody, do their research about this business and understand what their purposes are, what their motivations are. For example, some states ban the use of CBD that's derived from industrial hemp for human consumption, like in California. So when you sell your crop, you might want to know what will become of it. All of those things are just mainly preventative, but I think are really crucial to, once again, protect yourself from any liabilities. And I'd say, just at all times, be aware of this ever-changing legal landscape, because CBD law at this moment in time is incredibly complex. Hopefully the passage of the 2018 Farm Bill will make all of this a lot more clear, a lot more reliable, because it's the fact that there is a discrepancy between federal law and state laws make this area very uncertain.
Do you see the CBD becoming more regulated in the future?
It's certainly, I mean, when we look at the various steps that states have been taking, for example, the state of Indiana recently released new labeling requirements for CBD-infused products. And while those requirements are very strict, I think that they shed some light on the fact that states are interested in regulating this industry.
Right.
And I think that the reason they want to regulate it is because it is such, an unclear area of the law that the states are really interested in providing clear information to the public and to cultivators. But I think also seems to suggest that people are interested in legalizing this crop. So, yeah, I think we're going to see more and more regulations of industrial hemp in the near future.
Does the marijuana stigma matter anymore with industrial hemp?
I mean, I being on the West Coast, it seems to me like there is no longer a stigma. But of course, I'm sure there is a stigma because a lot of people are still associating industrial hemp with marijuana when, in fact, as I explained earlier, both are derived from the cannabis plant, but their components are fundamentally different.
Right.
And I think that people need to remember that industrial hemp has been grown for centuries in the United States and has a range of uses that include, clothes, paper, rope, food, that marijuana doesn't offer. And marijuana, let's face it, is mainly used by people to get high. And so these two things have very different purposes and have chemical components that are also incredibly different.
Right.
And I think the fact that a person like Majority Leader Mitch McConnell is probably the strongest supporter of the legalization of industrial hemp in this country goes to show that people who are still associating industrial hemp with marijuana should better understand that those two are very different and should not be confused.
So we know that Mitch McConnell is pro-hemp. Do you have any sense of where the Justice Department is on industrial hemp?
Well, as of now, I mean, the Justice Department is led by Attorney General Jeff Sessions.
Yep.
And Mr. Sessions has certainly been very vocal about his opposition to cannabis, but also industrial hemp, as I believe that he's not making a distinction between those two elements of the cannabis plant. So, as of now, it appears that the DEA is not really interested in making that distinction, but I think that time may force the DEA to revisit their position on industrial hemp and CBD, particularly with changes that are on the way at an international level. We're seeing more and more countries like Canada and Portugal, for example, that are decriminalizing cannabis, but specifically CBD, and more studies are showing the medical benefits that are associated with CBD, and also the fact that it has no addictive properties.
Right.
And the DEA has been hiding behind those excuses that that CBD is dangerous for people and should not be rescheduled. Although they recently rescheduled a CBD-derived drug that treats epilepsies from a Schedule 1 to a Schedule 5. Okay. So, you know, this is very promising, but I think it's going to take some time. And we have to be patient and accept the fact that the federal government will go at its own pace.
Looking ahead to the future, do you see CBD being sort of the main reason for hemp, or do you think the industry will start to focus on fiber?
Ooh, that's a very good question. I mean, it seems to me that, Congress and the advocates for the legalization of industrial hemp see this crop as a huge hope for the economic future of the country. And I can't imagine that it would be strictly limited to CBD because, as I said, it's such a versatile crop that I wouldn't be surprised if, as a country, we started using it again to make clothes. And I mean, I see them already in stores, at least in Oregon.
Right.
It's not solely used for CBD products.
Sure.
I think there might be some sort of renaissance of this crop for all sorts of purposes, because after all, this is an incredibly rich commodity, and I don't see why we wouldn't exploit it.
Well, Natalie, thank you so much for talking to me today.
Oh, my pleasure. And thank you so much for following our blog. And if you ever see something on there that you disagree with, please let us know, because we're really interested in hearing from the industry itself. So please do.
Okay, Natalie Bougenet, an attorney with the law firm Harris Bricken. She also writes for the Canna Law Blog at cannalawblog.com. Check it out. Lots of interesting information there. And speaking of interesting information, be sure to tune in next week when we speak to a research scientist from the Ford Motor Company about bioplastics and industrial hemp and all sorts of neat stuff. If you have any questions or comments or whatever, send us an email to podcast@lancasterfarming.com. I'm your host, Eric Harlock, digital editor at the newspaper. And thank you for listening. Until next time, I'll see you in the newspaper.